And welcome back to WSHIT's 7-Eleven News. It's news you can use before you booze. Happening now on the Crabapple music scene, Eddie Medvain, local living legend, has dropped his long-awaited second album, Reverse Cowgirl. Eddie, of course, the owner of Eddie's Edible Panties and Floral Arrangements on Center Street, has hit the radio airwaves and hit it like it owes him money. 4 out of the 5 most requested songs on local airplay are from Reverse Cowgirl, but the song making the most amount of Crabapplians hot under the collar is his new jam, Look in the Mirror. Eddie has stated that after an unfortunate incident at Tammy's Basement Tavern, he woke up and penned this semi-autobiographical tune. Let's take a listen to a bit of this earwig. You decide for yourself.
Wake up feeling stressed, wishing I was blessed with a life that's not a mess. Hoping for the best, wishing I was blessed. I hate my face in the mirror, I'm trying to see clearer. It's too damn loud in this bar tonight. Don't do drugs, don't get high, don't drink to have fun, 'cause I'm getting sober, 'cause I'm getting sober.
I don't have a clue what in the good gravy he's talking about, but it is a bop. It is a bop indeed. We'll be back after this commercial break.
On this episode of the commercial break.
You're dancing on YouTube every 5 fucking seconds. You didn't close anything off.
Dream. Yeah. Well, you did an amazing job. Aren't you so proud of her?
I'm so proud of her, and I'm so happy that I had a chance to dance with Ilaria, because she put so much heart and love to dance, and she's true inspiration. She works so hard in the dance.
He practiced that in the mirror to keep a straight face. You look at his eyes. You can tell. He's like, I hate this part of the show. I hate that I have to say that this woman is anyone I want to be around.
Every single day, she was the first one on time in the rehearsal, and
She was the first one on time.
Not just incredible.
The nicest thing you can say
is that she was on time.
Then it's a problem.
The next episode of the commercial break starts now.
Cats and kittens, welcome back to the commercial break. I'm Brian Green, and the triumphant return of Kristen Joy Hoadley to your appointed, I guess, chair, your throne. There it is. Kristen Joy Hoadley, best to you.
And best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there on the podcast universe. I told you she would return, and she has. How was Memphis? You're back.
And thank you so much to Tina.
Of course.
She did a fantastic job.
She knocked it out of the park.
I was listening, and I loved it.
She knocked it out of the park. We couldn't be more grateful that Tina comes in a pinch. We just didn't do enough episodes to cover the Memfo break this year.
We did not.
You know, we do the best we can. So how was Memfo?
Memfo was amazing.
Widespread panic for 2 nights. Yes. I saw all the wiggling going on.
Yeah, Tyler Childers for the third night. Father's on Misty mixed in there. I'm a huge fan of him.
Have you ever seen him live?
Yes, one other time.
Okay.
So,
Did he play Memfo one other time?
No, he played here at the Eastern.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, we went to go see him there.
He's like definition of cool.
Definition of cool. Yeah.
The way he moves across the stage, he just like glides.
He's tall, he's got the beard, and like, wearing the all black.
Handsome.
Yeah, his like foot up like you have right there, you know, up on the stage.
on the
his songwriting is just so funny. I mean, you know, satirical. And it was great. Fantastic weather the whole time.
Yes.
Great attendance. Jeff did well. He made it. You know, I mean, he's working. That's a huge thing. He's up there for 2 weeks.
Yeah, and a couple times he's not made it, actually. A couple times he, like, just kind of, like...
Well,
like,
those first few years were
a lot of stress.
Yeah, a lot of stress.
Didn't, like, 1 year he passed out or something?
Well, no, 1 year he had to... His blood pressure was so high.
Jeez.
He had to go to the hospital, and then he was dehydrated. So we've learned... through the years, we've learned to... You know, schedule some chiropractic work before.
Okay, all right. You get a massage in there
massage.
Once or twice.
He's got an assistant now that helps. So it's just, it's all good stuff, though.
Well, congratulations. I spent at least a half an hour, maybe 45 minutes on the hashtag MemphoFest.
Social media team does a fantastic job.
They really do. Those videos are great. Yeah. But then all of the people who were posting from there, there was hundreds, if not thousands of posts. I didn't get through half of them.
Yeah.
But everyone seemed to have a good time. The spreadheads were out in force, as the spreadheads do. Widespread panic only plays a couple times a year. I mean, not a couple times a year, but maybe like 40 times a year now.
Yeah,
30,
I mean, they
40.
Used to do these big tours, and now they don't. It's
they just
more
do like
chunks.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of specific cities for three nights.
And they do that big, like everybody does, the Riviera down there in the Mexico, the Mayan Riviera.
Panic in La Playa.
I think, for my money, I think that is, if you love a band, and most, and a lot of the, like, I will say grandfathered bands, they do that. My Morning Jacket, Widespread Panic, Fish.
Yep.
They do that. They go down for 3 days. You book a resort room.
Yep.
And then you just walk out of your hotel. There's no muss. There's no fuss. You don't have to stand in line for a bunch of shit.
All it's a small crowd. Yeah, all-inclusive places. And yeah, it's great. It's fun. I've been a couple times.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Well, congratulations to Mempho. Is that year number 7?
No, it's actually year number 9. Oh. But they didn't do one in 2020,
okay,
obviously.
So it's the eighth
iteration of it, yes.
Wow. And so who's going to play in 2026 is the question.
They're working on it.
Yeah.
They are working on it. As soon as one stops, the next one you start working on for the next year.
Do you start working on it before does he already have in mind, or does the group already have
especially
in mind?
Especially the headliners. Yeah, try and go ahead and lock those in.
And they're trying to negotiate who's going to come. Do they ever think about moving the space, or is the space locked in for a certain amount of time?
Yeah, the space, I mean, everybody just loves the Botanic Gardens.
It used to be beautiful.
When it first started,
it was at the river?
It was at Shelby Farmers Park, which is even further east.
Yeah.
Of Memphis. So, yeah, which is a beautiful park. It's kind of, you know, reminds you of
Woodstock or something.
Piedmont Park and the Beltline kind of mixed together. There's trails and things to ride, and there's, you know, lakes and fields. Anyways, it was a beautiful spot too, but they moved it to the Botanical Gardens, and it's just gorgeous.
Yeah. It's a smaller space. It feels very contained.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like a lot of these festivals, they're spread out. When the first Music Midtown happened, I was thinking about this the other day. When the first Music Midtown happened and I went, it was like a 5 square mile ordeal.
Yeah.
They also had 7 stages or something. If you want to get from stage 1 to stage 7, you were walking for a half a fucking hour. And that went on for the first 3 or 4 years. And then Cooley and Conlon, I think, got smarter and they started to consolidate it into a smaller space. And it was all over like old parking lots that weren't being used.
And concrete.
Yeah, it was concrete jungle.
Yeah.
So the thing that I did like about Mempho when I went there, amongst a lot of other things, was it felt very contained. It didn't feel like you were wilding out in this huge space and had to walk from here. It's like literally music starts on this stage, you walk 100 feet and you're on the you can see the other stage.
Exactly.
So,
there's a lot of trees and beautiful plants and that kind of thing too.
Yeah.
It surrounds it.
Look at that. And in a time when everyone's questioning whether or not live music, these kind of like medium-sized live music events can happen, will happen, are cost, you know, people can afford to do them. It seems like Mempho has kind of carved a little niche out for itself.
They have. They're independent, you know, and they're all about the fan experience. And I think that translates each year to people coming back once you've kind of been, you know, you want to go back to it. So
I think one of the smart things that Jeff and the team does also is they do not try to catch the latest, greatest fad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, and I'm not, this is no knock on any particular artist, but they're not trying to get, I don't want to make this about a demographic, but they're not trying to chase whoever's hot right this moment so that they can sell a bunch of tickets for one day. They're looking for like people who you really want to see who've been around for a while, have a good catalog.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that also brings a certain kind of festival goer that is less interested in getting rowdy and slamming their head against the wall and more interested in, you know, pacing themselves out for the weekend and having a good time.
Yeah.
And I think it makes for a more mellow vibe at Mempho Fest than I've seen at other festivals like a Bonnaroo or something like that, where
right.
it's just sometimes it's just a little much. People really, it's like their first or second festival and they don't know how to handle themselves. Yeah. It's just a reality. No knock. You got to go. You got to do it. You got to cut your teeth. Let that be Bonnaroo, which is also a 5 mile walk from one stage to the fucking other. That
yes,
is a miserable experience. I loved Bonnaroo.
I know.
But it's a miserable experience.
I've been there, done that at this point.
<I know. laughs>
There's a lot of great music. But yeah, no, they've done a great job and I'm a super proud wife.
Yeah. Congratulations to Jeff and the whole team at Memphofest.com. You can go, and I'm sure they have some, and their social media and all that stuff. You can wrap up the weekend, and I'm sure it'll be like a week and a half before they start selling pre-packages to Memphofest 2026, because that's the name of the game. That's what you got to do.
Yeah.
So congratulations. I don't know if you saw Shirley Manson from Garbage.
I love her.
So I love her too, and I love that band, and they.
I've seen her live before.
I saw them live one time, and I think it was at a Music Midtown.
They were at Shaky Knees or Music Midtown or something.
Yeah,
we saw them then.
I caught a reel where they were doing a show here in the States, and I would say it was an indoor arena. I couldn't tell, like, they didn't put where exactly it was, but let's say there were 10,000 people in the room. And Shirley said, this will be our last North American tour, maybe our last North American show. And then she went on to explain that it is impossible for them to make money doing this size venue and these size tours. It has become so cost prohibitive. Mm. And she said, I'm not saying this so you give me a pity party, because we've had a career and we've done it and we know how to navigate through this world.
Yeah, they've been around.
I'm saying this because what is happening to the next generation of musicians who are trying to make a living doing this, have a decent audience, but they cannot support themselves on the road. They can't give the fans the experience that they want. They really only have one of two choices: tour on their own or go do the festival circuit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think more and more these medium-sized artists are choosing to do much smaller venues and then do the festival circuit because they cannot sustain a tour on their own. They just can't make money doing
hard.
It. And so that disappointed me because music is getting crushed at every angle. Like, you look at the billionaires making billions of dollars being billionaires, and we all know who we're talking about. And I'm not knocking those people like Taylor Swift. They have made incredible careers for themselves with huge audiences, and they've done it. Like, she has reached the top of the top. There is nowhere else to go. Any place else she goes, she's breaking new ground. But she is the extreme exception to the rule.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're a 33 penis and you're coming up in the world and you got, like, you're a regional band who's trying to get out there on tour and do a little circuit of like 3,000 or 4,000 seat theaters, it's expensive to move the bus. It's expensive to get a bus. It's expensive to even have 5 crew members that can help you out, a manager, get hotel rooms, all the lighting, the gear, all of it becomes so expensive. Everyone's trying to knock you and suck a little extra blood out along the way that it's almost impossible for you to make a profit doing this. So you're simply doing it for exposure, keeping your fingers crossed that you'll be the next Taylor Swift. And that doesn't happen to anybody. It just doesn't, statistically speaking. So it's kind of sad, I think, for the up-and-coming musicians and music in general. Like, how do these people support themselves?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, and a lot of it now is direct to consumer. So, you know, these people put out their YouTube and are their own, music, to be able to kind of get directly in front of the people. And then there's demand.
Yeah.
You can kind of create that demand for people to pay for you to come to their show, their festival, or their venue.
Right. It's sad. And then one more, you know, bad news in the music notch is that announced today, MTV, the family of channels that surrounds the globe, will be shutting down their music channels.
Really?
After 40 years of being on television.
Did they still play music on their music
They do. I don't know. I honestly couldn't tell you one way or the other.
Because I just see a bunch of Catfish, I feel like.
Well, Catfish got canceled.
Oh, okay.
It got canceled while you were gone. Tina and I talked about it. Catfish got canceled after 7 seasons or 9 seasons or whatever it is. It's canceled. And so
there's that show now, The Tinder Swindler, on Netflix. And then there's like another kind of offshoot of that show that's very similar to Catfish.
Well, a couple of guys go and investigate on their behalf.
It's two women, actually.
Okay.
So,
interesting. I'll have to get into that.
There's like a private investigator involved, yeah.
there are 30 different YouTube channels that are now the Max and Neve of YouTube, mm-hmm. right? And so when Max and Neve first did this, Max was the first one that was catfished. He brought this terminology into our lexicon, that movie Catfish. When I first saw it, I was like, holy shit, that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not so crazy anymore.
No, it's like a daily thing. All the time.
Yeah. And now they have 30, 50 YouTube channels. They all do the same thing. They're all investigating on their behalf. I actually know a woman who got catfished by someone who claimed they were Zach Bryan, the famous.
Oh, that's
remember
right.
that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not friends with her, but I just somehow landed on her Instagram and followed her because of this story. I've found out since she's. All the screws are not tied in too tightly.
No, you were showing me some of her
oh my God.
Stuff.
Oh, it's
God.
Only gotten so much crazier.
Oh, wow.
She's like a racist, ignorant pig. That's all I got to say. But anyway, so that's neither here nor there. MTV did have a family of music channels, especially in Europe, where it reaches about 100 million people. They had like MTV 80s, MTV 90s,
oh,
MTV 2000s,
okay. That makes sense.
Where they were playing videos, still playing videos, unbelievably. And apparently these channels, while not extraordinarily popular, do get watched. Quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Here in the United States, you know, they've tried different versions of this. Do you remember for a while there was that, was it Axis TV?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Axis is still around, too.
But what was the Palladia? Palladia.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember Palladia?
Yes.
Palladia was a channel that was on for like 5 years, I think. And it was when I was living out on Howell Mill. And mm-hmm. I remember the day that it popped up on my TV, and I was like, what is Palladia? All they did was show concerts. Back to back
yep.
to back concerts of great musicians, the entirety of the show. And I thought, this is the coolest thing. Like, this is awesome. The problem is, everything is so on demand. If I'm watching Palladia, and I'm watching, I don't know, whatever, a Bruce Springsteen concert,
yeah.
and a commercial comes on, I can go to YouTube and watch the Bruce Springsteen concert without commercials mm-hmm. if I choose to do that, even though YouTube now has such a shitload of commercials. The on-demand nature of everything having to do with music has just slaughtered any opportunity for MTV to make a buck. And mark my words, MTV as a channel, while the MTV main channel may be around showing shitty reality television for a while, its days are numbered also
mm-hmm.
because everyone is aging out of MTV. Look at the MTV Music Awards. That just happened.
Yeah.
That was clearly not made for 18 to 24 year olds, which is that demographic that
it used to be for.
Yeah, that it used to be for. Mm-hmm. And that advertisers so desperately mm-hmm. want to get in front of because they have, you know, they spend money. They're still, you might be still living with your parents. You have extra dollars. You know, you're willing to go make impulsive purchases.
Mm-hmm.
That's me too at 72
yes.
years old. But the reality is that MTV is no longer for the younger generation. That channel has now, everyone is aged out mm-hmm. of that. And the people who are still watching have some kind of nostalgic connection to it, or they're still watching Teen Mom 30.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Those teen moms are 42 years old. What are we doing?
Are they still following them around?
I think they are. I think that show still has some juice. The Jersey Shore is on its 52nd
right.
iteration. You know, what started off as kind of a joke has now turned into this, like, extensive olive branch of television shows, you know, Snooki this and JWoww that and all this, uh-huh. you know, Pauly D is a celebrity. Pauly fucking D is a celebrity. What is happening?
Is he the one with the hair?
Yeah, he's the one with the hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And to be honest, he's pretty fucking funny. Like,
of
all the guys on that show, Pauly D was always my favorite
yeah.
because he was naturally gifted at throwing a punchline out there.
Right.
And he's like a famous DJ. He gets paid
That's
a lot
right.
of money to
yeah.
go to Vegas. The days are numbered for music in general, I think. It's just a really tough time to be a musician, and it's a tough time to want to be a musician because there's very little opportunity to make real money doing that. And so
times are a changing.
Times they are a changing.
But Matt, music will always be there. I mean, everybody loves music in some form or fashion.
Yes. It's will the AI agents be making it
well,
or not?
Oh God.
Meanwhile, Brian's making AI music at
yeah.
a rapid clip here at the studio. I'm not
yeah.
helping the cause. I'm really not. But I mean, if I could, if I had the resources to have a whole band in here making that music, I would choose that all day of the week. But that in and of itself is an expensive venture.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just think of a song and pay somebody $6,000 to create it. So
yeah.
I feel bad for my kids that are growing up. their musical experience is, I don't know what it's going to look like.
It's going to be vastly different.
It's going to be vastly different. They're going to be in that fucking, what is that, Sims World or some, I don't know.
Right.
They're going to be with a VR watching Snoop Doggy Doggy, you know, in his fake stage doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, they give concerts in fucking virtual reality. Did you see that Diplo did one?
I did not see that. But
I'm going to Coachella to see Diplo!
But yeah, everybody's kind of doing that now. Right.
Yeah, he went to the metaverse and he did a whole thing. Like the last time I checked in on, you know, the metaverse or the VR world concerts, it was like stick figures doing, you know, playing the guitar. It was not particularly impressive.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yes,
yeah.
I think we even watched a little bit.
We did.
But Diplo put together I think it was Diplo, whichever DJ it was. I believe it was Diplo. He really did it right. It was a super trippy musical experience where the visuals were fucking excellent. And so I watched some of it, on YouTube, not through VR, but on YouTube. And I was like, oh, shit, we're all fucked. I mean, this is where the concerts are going to happen now, is in there,
in
you know?
In the alternate world.
Yeah, Pink Floyd's going to go in some, you know, streaming studio in London. David Gilmour's going to go slap a guitar on somewhere in London, and he's going to do a whole show to a million people, and he's never going to be in front of anybody. So our kids' experience of this is going to be so much different than the one we had, and that's sad. So I champion things like Memfo, you know, medium to larger sized festivals that bring on, you know, these established musicians who they can't sell out 100,000 seat arena like Taylor Swift could, but they have good audiences and they showcase those, and then they throw in some local and lesser known artists so you can, that's what a festival should be, right?
Introduce you to some other stuff.
You put the big guys on the main stage, and then you string people in or you hook people in with some other folks that they can go see and get turned on to. So, but Father John Misty, to wrap it all around, that guy, he's a magician.
Uh-huh.
Thank God Father John Misty was not around when I met Astrid. Like, it wasn't the choice between Brian and Father John Misty. Because that
he's
guy,
great.
Yeah, he has something that no man has. I don't know what it is. Even I got a boner when I saw
quoi.
Je ne sais quoi, indeed. All right, let's, Chrissy is back. Let's take a break, and then I want to get into it. I want to talk about Ilaria Baldwin. Do you know Ilaria Baldwin?
Okay, yes.
Okay, we're going to dig into Ilaria Baldwin.
Okay.
She feels like she got bullied off Dancing with the Stars. We're going to jump in on it.
I've heard of her, but you'll have to fill me in.
Well, she is the most ridiculous human you've ever met in your entire life. And I like the Baldwins. I do. But Ilaria, really? We'll get into it. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you could make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of the commercial break.
Yeah, that's Hilaria, or Ilaria, as she likes to call herself.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was confused because I thought there was an H in there.
There is. The name is Hillary, but she calls herself Ilaria. Now, let me preface this. I don't watch Dancing with the Stars. I really could care less. But one of my kids does, because she's a dancer. She likes to them. She's a good dancer, and she's a good gymnast. She's just a young girl, but she loves all that stuff. And so she loves Dancing with the Stars because they do have pretty dresses, and they fly
around.
Yeah,
it's fun.
And they do costumes and all that stuff. But this year, Dancing with the Stars became interesting when Corey Feldman was invited.
Oh, right.
He got kicked off week two.
It didn't
last very long. But to be honest, we'll review that too.
Yeah.
But to be honest, he's just not a great dancer. It's all that Michael Jackson bullshit. He moves his body that way. He's also like 58 years old.
Well, true.
So he's not exactly a spring chicken. And he's not, I don't know. I can understand why he got kicked off. Plus, it's Corey Feldman. How many Dancing with the Stars people are really voting for, you know? I think people who watch this take it very seriously.
I think
Ilaria
so
is Alec Baldwin's wife. I think they've been married for a long time, like 13, 14, 15 years. Alec had a couple of children, I believe, before.
Yes, yeah, Kim Basinger.
Kim Basinger. But then they had a brood of children, like five or six of them.
Yeah, I just remember seeing that in the news, too. Like, he's a father again, twins.
He has a three-year-old.
Yeah.
And he's 76 years old. Jeez. First of all, he looks great for 76 years old. He really does. And he's been through a fucking nightmare.
Oh, God.
And he's always going through a nightmare. Like, there's always something with the Baldwins.
There is.
Ilaria is this woman, this ridiculous woman, who I'm sure she's pleasant enough, but I have now done a deep dive into Ilaria. Ilaria.
Well, yeah, because you were actually watching the show that came out too, right?
I did. The A&E show.
Yeah, I didn't watch that, but.
They filmed while he was going through the trial. And it was very intense. Mm-hmm. And they really let the cameras kind of do it all. But what became clear was that Ilaria, Ilaria is a ridiculous human being who's prone to dramatics and theatrics and probably always has been. Before she met Alec, she was like an online yoga instructor.
That's what I remember, yeah.
And had a cooking channel on YouTube and would do like local access television shows and would, she was everything.
Okay.
She was trying clearly to make a name for herself in the entertainment business in any way that she could. And she kept doing it with a Spanish accent. But her family would repeatedly tell people that they are not Spanish. In fact, they've never been to Spain. I mean, not that they've never been to Spain. Her dad had a fascination with the Spanish culture.
Okay.
Now,
so she kind of just took that on.
She sucked it up. And even though she spent, there are videos out there of people who ask her directly, so you're from Spain? And she completely ignores the question. She'll be like, that's right. You put the tomatoes in the pot and you have it stew for a half an hour. So you're from Spain and you want to put a little paprika in there. She completely ignores the question because she knows that she's not from Spain, even though in earlier in her life, she had claimed that she had spent the first 19 years of her life in Spain. Her family has since said that is not true. We did not spend any time. And she claimed that half of her family lives in Spain. That is not true. None of them are Spanish. So, okay, let's give her a break. She did this for affectation, or maybe she was fascinated with the Spanish culture, and she got thrown into the whirlwind that is Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, very public.
Yes, and now every bit of her life has been scrutinized. Okay, she claims that people wrote into Dancing with the Stars and demanded that she be cast.
Okay.
People close to Dancing with the Stars are like, I'm not really sure what she's talking about, but okay, maybe we did get a few emails. Not really sure. She has a YouTube channel where she dances a lot. Like, you know, she claims to have been, she was like a ballroom dancer, flamenco dancer. She would do all these dances. She was a yoga instructor. She can move, right? So she comes on Dancing with the Stars, same season, this season, as Corey Feldman. She gets kicked off relatively easy, early. I think week four, she got kicked off. And the ridiculousness that has followed her ever since. Now, she got teamed up with a guy named Glenn. I don't know what his name is.
I don't know any of them.
Guy in the brown coat. I don't either. He's the professional dancer.
Right.
That's part of the show. And it's apparent that he is way finished with whatever this whole thing that Ilaria is doing. He is so over it. He's seething underneath. He just wants to scream into the microphone.
Done.
Stop being so fucking dramatic! But he doesn't do that. He manages to keep his composure. This is Dancing with the Stars. We're going to watch this video. It's youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. We're going to watch this. This is right after she gets kicked off. Now she's doing one of the exit interviews that I'm sure she's contractually obligated to do.
Okay.
Okay, so let's watch this. And just watch how ridiculous this gets.
Oh, you look so good.
You guys.
Okay, now they're backstage with Entertainment Tonight.
Really did an amazing job this week. I have to just tell you, like, your dance was phenomenal. All that stuff.
Okay, I mean, she can move, right? She's obviously not
she's
a novice
up.
Dancer. Yeah, now, doing that to the Star Wars aliens which, by the way, is a little bit of a jam. It's a little bit of a jam.
And done. What would you say is the thing you learned most about yourself?
They actually have the aliens in the
That's what I was saying. Yeah. They've got the
I remember that song from Star Wars, yes. But they actually have people dressed
from
as,
the cantina. Okay. Yeah, from whatever that cantina is.
All through doing Dancing with the Stars.
To open my heart up.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, oh my God, you're going to make me cry already.
Here comes the Spanish accent. Okay. She's going to go in and out of it.
Stop it.
I got you.
You know, to open your heart up to something that you closed off is vulnerable.
Yeah.
Your back heart, that's the dancing?
What did you... I know. She goes this whole thing that I closed dance off of my life. I never thought I'd do it. It's like, what? You're dancing on YouTube every 5 fucking seconds. You didn't close anything off.
Dream. Yeah. Well, you did an amazing job. Aren't you so proud of her?
I'm so proud of her, and I'm so happy that I had a chance to dance with Ilaria because she put so much heart and love to dance, and she's true inspiration. She works so hard in the day.
He practiced that in the mirror to keep a straight face.
Mm-hmm.
You look at his eyes. You can tell. He's like, I hate this part of the show. I hate that I have to say that this woman is anyone I want to be around.
Every single day, she was the first one on time in the rehearsal, and... She
was the first one on time.
Not just incredible.
The nicest thing you can say is that she was on time. Then it's a problem.
A mom to her incredible 7 kids, but also...
He said 7 children.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
I know.
By the way, looks great for having 7 children. I do give her that.
You know,
that's what money does.
That's true.
Real G in the dance studio. Like I felt like I'm back into my competition days,
really?
Where we really like I had a chance to dance with you.
No,
you know?
The dancing part of this is this whole thing we had.
Yeah.
You and I had the dancing part,
yeah.
And I will always know that.
And she's looking deep into his eyes.
I know.
Eyes.
She's like, I will always know the dance part we had. It's you're an asshole. It's the part we didn't have.
You were good together. You were good at it.
We were good dancers together.
We were good dancers together. Oh, they're just dancing around each other. Look at that. Yeah.
What do you hope your kids take away from being able to see their mom kind of live out this dream?
All of this happened so quickly, and when I signed the contract between when I got off the plane and I got my baggage, you know, and I'm like chasing my 2-year-old at that point has turned 3 since the short time that I've been here, and she's like, they're like telling me I need to sign the contract, and so this happened so quickly, but.
Sign the
quickly,
now.
Yeah, because well, I know you won't be Dancing with the Stars, won't you? You're Ilaria Baldwin. For God's sake, sign the contract.
That night, I said to my 12-year-old, "What if I get voted off right away?" And she said, "Mommy, at least you tried."
At least you tried, mommy. Mommy, oh mother, at least you tried. Can you imagine the theatrics going on at the house?
Ooh,
these children, they have.
Yeah.
I mean. Listen, they're Alec Baldwin's children. They'll be fine. But you know what I'm saying? Financially, they'll be taken care of. They can go to therapy. But this mother running around crying about everything. I signed the contract so quickly.
I had to do it immediately.
Between getting off the private plane and the baggage.
At least you tried.
And that's something that's a beautiful thing. And I'm glad that they know. To say that.
Oh, I love that.
And I hope that they know to live that in their lives.
They do. You should be so proud. Real quick.
Meanwhile, E.T.'s favorite gay is like hamming it up. He's like, oh, you do. He knows how to play her.
Yeah. Chance, we could see whatever you guys had planned for next week with Alec. Maybe pop up online or something. Will it see the light of day?
Alec.
Oh,
whatever dance they were supposed to do the following week. Yeah.
Alec. Is just as over her as Gleb is. I'm promising you this. He walked away from an interview because when I wish I had pulled this. Maybe I will for another episode. But they were talking outside on a red carpet. Mm-hmm. And I forget what it was. And the guy says, do you think there'll be a season 2 of your reality show? And Alec says, you know, we don't know. You know, we're going to, this is a lot, blah, blah, blah. And he goes, and ended up being the Ilaria show, right?
Uh-huh.
And she goes, shh. You don't talk. You don't talk when I'm talking. You don't talk.
What?
Okay. This is why it's a problem, right? And Alec rolled his eyes and literally walked away from her.
Oh,
and she finished the interview.
No. okay.
A little too late with the bows. A little too late, okay? Sorry about that.
We'll keep an eye on the TikTok.
Yes. We'll be Dancing with the Stars in another country.
There you go.
Make it Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, Spain. Venezuela.
You guys don't.
We'll go to Spain. We'll go to Spain.
We're going to go Dancing with the Stars.
See? Spain. He's jabbing her.
Congrats on an amazing run.
Okay, now, all right, so we get the flavor for her personality, right? She's a little ridiculous. She's a little over the top. Okay, now she goes to the Dancing with the Stars podcast with him. I guess they must have to do like 70,000 of these exit interviews. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
I will be the first to say I am surprised that you're sitting here. I think that's going to be a theme this season where you don't really know who's coming next and what the eliminations are going to be. I also know how quick that time can be when you go off the show. So the purpose of this is always to give you the floor again, to kind of speak on some of your thoughts, talk through this whole experience for you. First, right now, I'm going to start with you, Aloria.
Why is she in the robe?
She's in a robe, I guess, because this is like literally right after they got done
so
dancing.
She's still in her costume?
Yeah, look at the body posture on the couch, by the way. He's facing this way, she's facing that way. Yeah. They are clearly not interested in each other. And how much money does this guy get paid to do the Dancing with the Stars podcast and make this seem like anything anybody cares about? Just curious.
How are you feeling right now?
Here's the mirror bowl, by the way.
It's our
support. I won one anyway. I mean, first, this has been an experience that I never thought I would have. And I'm so grateful. Yeah. And I mean, I always live my life with gratitude. I never thought I would dance again. I've broken so many things.
I never thought I'd dance again. This every day on fucking YouTube. You've broken so many things. What did you? I don't get that part.
Yeah, babies. So I'm very grateful for that.
People do live after they have children.
Right. You know, and to meet you, that has been incredible.
She's talking about her partner.
I know. Yeah. Look at him. Yeah. He's seething. He is seething.
I also am grateful that everybody else gets to continue to dance because this is the, you know, I was saying so many times to my castmates, like how beautiful it is to be rooting for every single person on this team. And I really think we are a team. So my team continues to go on. And so I'm proud of those and I'm a little jealous, but proud.
Of course, you are.
A little jealous. Look at Gleb, he's laughing. He's like a lot jealous.
I get to go to practice tomorrow. And we were going to have a really fun practice tomorrow. And I'm sad we won't have that.
Still can go practice.
We can still go practice. Yeah. Man, guys, we'll just like put it on YouTube.
Keep dancing. One thing
we just put it on YouTube. Who is she? She's like out of the Scarface or something. That is like a caricature of a Spanish accent. Yeah. It's not even close to authentic.
Touched on which I want to get into because it was something in the theme of week one. It was a theme throughout the entire time. How grateful you really were to dance and find your love of dance again. Because I think that's so special. I don't think people understand because you can see when you get emotional about it how much you really didn't think you were going to dance again. So how was it to be able to dance with Gleb and to get back on the floor like that?
People are talking like as if she got like cock blocked from doing any kind of dance for the rest of her life. I don't get it. I'm not understanding.
No. Oh, God.
I opened my heart.
What?
And now it's broken again.
What?
I opened my heart.
And now it's broken again.
5:30.
But I'm 41.
You're not dead.
Oh my God.
It's so dramatic. I'm 41.
Yeah, she can barely talk.
My vagina is the size of a watermelon. I've broken two toes.
And I met Alec when I was 27. And the world has been trying to beat me since.
God. Really?
I hate to be piling on, but when you act like this, you're being ridiculous, right. Ilaria. You have nothing in the world to complain about. Nothing. You got to go on Dancing with the Stars. You got kicked out early. Okay, that happens. It has to happen to somebody.
Yeah.
All right? You were a dancer beforehand. Okay. No one told you you had to stop dancing because you had 7 kids. You look great. You're dancing on YouTube all the time. What is the deal? Why the dramatics and the theatrics?
She's got a broken heart.
Oh, I'm 41. The world has tried to beat me down ever since.
at his, look at the partner's face.
Yeah, I know. He wants to roll his eyes so badly. Yeah. You know how you're talking to someone and you really want to roll your eyes? Uh-huh. I'm sure this happens to you a lot with me. And you just have to keep your eyes from rolling. You have to tell yourself, don't roll your eyes. Don't roll your eyes.
They did. Because no matter what I do, it's not enough.
Want to go back to your family because you can see how much joy it gave you to dance in front of you.
Why are you going back to the family? What? I don't understand.
Yeah.
I really feel for the guy who has to do the Dancing with the Stars podcast every week because you have to make it appear.
Yeah, like you're interested.
Like ballroom dancing right. is going to save the world.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Now, I understand. The people who watch this show, it's like a religious experience. They love this show. And there's a lot of ridiculous shows that I watch, that I love, that I take seriously, that no one else does. Like the Seven Little Johnsons coming back for second half of the season. Can't wait. But Dancing with the Stars, Ilaria. First of all, Hillary. Let's just start there. Second of all, I can agree that at times, people who go to a certain place, like if I go to Spain and I start speaking Spanish for a while, mm-hmm. I'm sure that there are words that I say in English that take on a Spanish sure. accent, right? I'm sure that happens. Just like when you live in the South, you will pick up a Southern accent. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will. Look at Madonna. She ran around with a British accent. She still runs around with a British accent
yeah.
because she lives in London.
Right.
That's what happens. But it's been, if not forever, it's been most of your life that you've not been to Spain. Drop the accent. Stop it. That's mm-hmm. why people, that's why people are upset, and that's why people don't think you're authentic, is because you're not being authentic. And with all the dramatics around the dancing, come on, no one told you you had to stop dancing.
No one.
And
your heart's broken now that she's got kicked off?
Yes, Chrissy. I'm 41 with a bad case of gout, and the world is trying to bring me down. Oh, Gleb, I feel for you. I feel for you for two reasons. Number one, if they were to win or get in the finals, then Gleb gets a big bonus, right, for that. So
he's
shit out of luck at least until next year if they rehire him, right? I think he's been with the show for a while. But second of all, when you have to be with someone like this every day, 12 hours a day dancing, it's a lot.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back to wrap it up.
Okay, Brian.
Okay, Chrissy. I'm 41 and you're trying to take me down.
Let me do something Brian has never done. Be brief. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break. Text or call us 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Visit our website, tcbpodcast.com, for all the audio, video, and your free sticker. Then watch all the videos at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. And finally, share the show. It's the best gift you could give a few aging podcasters. See, Brian? That really wasn't that difficult, now was it? You're welcome.
I don't know a lot of his music. I'm not super familiar with the guy, but D'Angelo just died.
Oh, no.
Wasn't he like a super sex star or something? The women, the ladies loved him.
No, and he can't have been that old.
51 years old. He died. Whoa. He just died. They just announced it as we're recording this.
Yeah, he's
That's going to be a big one for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Grammy award-winning R&B soul singer D'Angelo is dead from pancreatic cancer.
Oh.
The brown sugar singer died this morning, according to sources connected with his family. That's really
That's so sad.
That's really sad.
Yeah, he did a lot in the music.
I do remember a lot of, especially ladies in my life at a certain time, like, you know, early 2000s, mid 2000s, where like D'Angelo was the thing.
Oh,
they were all about.
We had that really sexy video.
Oh, yeah. The one where he was like smacking himself all around the ladies. I remember that. D'Angelo, may God bless your ride up to heaven or wherever it is.
Yeah, God, that's sad.
So.
Fuck cancer.
Yeah, honestly. Fuck cancer.
Yeah.
It will affect everyone at some point. I've had family members. Chrissy has had terrible experiences with cancer in her family.
Mm-hmm.
My brother, my dad, other people have had prostate cancer. If we live long enough, all of us will get it, prostate cancer. It's just the scourge. It's the thing that I think so many resources, time, and energy needs to be dedicated to figuring out an answer. And I know there are a lot of amazing breakthroughs,
yes,
but still, you get cancer like a pancreatic cancer, some forms of breast cancer, some forms of liver cancer. There's very little chance that you will survive that. So,
yeah,
it's really sad. So, fuck cancer.
Yep.
God bless you, D'Angelo. Hope you're on your way, buddy. Even though I didn't know a lot of his music. I'm sure if I played a song, I'd recognize it.
Oh, yeah, you would.
I don't think I was D'Angelo's target market as a white male. I think he was going for the ladies, to be quite frank. Speaking of death, I was talking to Chrissy about the Ed Gein story.
Oh, right.
And yes. Tina and I talked about this last week
because
she's into all that macabre stuff, right? Mm. And it's not necessarily my flavor. I do like the crime dramas that Ryan Murphy has put together. The Menendez brothers was excellent. The OJ trial, the OJ story was excellent. Jeffrey Dahmer was excellent. Ed Gein is different.
It's a
different flavor because it is so fucking weird.
It is. It's bizarre.
It's bizarre.
Yeah.
And I don't want to.
I haven't finished it.
Yeah. Okay. So I won't give. I mean, the story is the story, right?
Well, right. Yeah.
The story is the story.
I know what happens.
Yeah. Everyone knows what happens. But Ed Gein was attached to he was only convicted of two murders. They could only really tie him to two murders. But there were a lot of other murders that some people over the years have suspected he had something to do with. Now,
well, and the other crimes that they got him for, right, was like desecration of corpses. He was digging up corpses.
Digging up corpses. Ah. Not only was he digging up corpses,
and then,
he was having sex with them.
And doing the skin,
yes,
getting the skin off. God.
The whole, Buffalo Bill thing from, what amazed me, I think, about all of this after I watched it, is Silence of the Lambs was one of my favorite movies ever. Because it is so fucking fantastically acted, and it is so twisty, turny, and scary, like genuinely scary. It's such a well-built movie from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. And then I read the book, and that's also such an excellent book. Red Dragon, Red Dawn, the whole thing, like all of it. It's all, the whole series of books is all great about Hannibal. But that is a straight ripoff of the Ed Gein story. Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs is Ed Gein. Mm-hmm. That's who he is. And it is insane to me that an actual human being did any of this.
Yeah.
But it shows you just how some people's minds are really broken and they don't, and they're not going to get fixed.
Yeah.
I have just such, I don't even know how to say this, with necrophilia. Which is the thing that is shown in this, which I'm sure everybody will be talking about. Everybody is talking about the necrophilia that is shown in the Ryan Murphy show in high graphic detail, right? Is so hard to watch. It is, if it doesn't bother you, something's wrong with you. You need to get checked.
Yeah.
Because Ryan Murphy does a great job of trying to make it palatable, but you need to remember what the representation is you're watching. Is that actually happened. And it is highly fucking disturbing.
Oh, God.
It's perfect for Halloween.
Ugh.
Perfect. So I was watching this the other night in the bed, and I was laying with one of my kids because they have, trouble sleeping without mom and dad. Yeah, co-sleeping.
You were watching it with your kid?
I wasn't watching it with them. Okay. I was watching it while they were sleeping.
Okay.
Until I realized... I'm watching this part of the show where there's, the whole necrophilia thing, right? And my kid goes, Dad. And I was like, I quickly press pause and flip down the phone. And I'm like, yes. And he goes, what is he doing to that dead person? And
no.
I was like, oh,
no.
God.
No,
and I go, how much of that were you paying attention to, buddy? And he goes, not much, but why is
what is happening?
Why is his butt naked?
Oh,
and I was
God.
Like, oh, don't worry about it. It's just adults having fun. Because it doesn't look like fun.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, if you only knew, it's
God.
Not fun. It is so crazy creepy. Ed Gein, I think the thing I have to imagine too is that this is the 1940s, or 1957,
50s.
Yeah, 1957 when Ed Gein is finally arrested for the disappearance and then the eventual murder of this Rose lady, I think was her name. In 1957, this was not a thing that happened very often. You know what I'm saying?
No.
No one knew The world at large knew about the atrocities of World War II and the craziness that people, how people could desecrate other human beings and dead bodies, but they weren't aware that this was happening in fucking Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's right.
One of my friends put a post the other day, and I thought this was so silly of them. I just got to say it. It was like they were driving in Wisconsin, where they're from, and they were like, "Watch the Ed Gein story last night. Hard to believe it's from my favorite town, you know." And like, it's just like the flip nature of the whole post. I was like, "Yeah, you know, people died and were desecrated.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you should be videotaping the actual cemetery where that was happening from."
No, it's hard to comprehend. Like, wrap your mind around
the town that this all went down in, had to put a whole post together and make a whole public release. Like, if you're going to come here, please come here for the good things about our town. Please recognize that there are other things besides a place where terrible things happen. That's got to be hard when you get tied to something
exactly.
like that. I always wonder, like, people who buy houses where things, bad things happened, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the Menendez brothers' house just sold. That, where Kitty and whatever,
you know,
Jose were killed.
Yeah.
That house just sold for like $2.5 million. And the guy said, "I plan to tear it down." Fuck yeah, I plan to tear it down.
Well, yeah, 100%.
Would you buy a really nice house if you got a super discount, but something terrible happened there?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah. I think I'd be afraid that just like the general juju would be. Like, even if I tore it all down.
Energy.
Yeah. I always wonder, like, when something really bad happens at a place, like a house especially, how do people move on from that, right? Because if something terrible happened here at this house, like just something terrible, like you couldn't wash from your mind, I don't know how I would just walk up and down the hallways
all the time.
I think it would be really hard to do that. And then to be Ed Gein, I'm sure that Ed Gein house is long gone.
Oh,
I mean, I hope it is.
Yeah, has to be.
Well, all the stuff that happened in there, I mean— they have pictures like of Ed Gein being walked away from that house and his original arrest. The detectives in that, when I went and read real accounts of detectives and sheriff's officers, patrolmen, I mean, they called an army of people after the first two detectives walked into the house and saw half of what there was to see. That detectives were like out in the front lawn puking, shaking, crying. Yeah, they just didn't know how to process all of this. It's 2025. I'm sure, you know, there's like 3-year-olds who'd be like, "Eh, whatever. I just watched Friday Night at Freddy's. I'm good. Nah, it's a nipple chair. Who doesn't want a nipple chair?" A nipple chair.
Oh, no. I haven't gotten to the nipple chair.
Now, I don't know, Chrissy. I don't know if this is the one for you to go all the way. I don't know if you should go the distance on this one.
I know. I'm a big Halloween and scary, you know. I love all that kind of stuff.
Do you like horror movies?
It depends on what horror movie. Like The Shining, yes.
Yes, me too.
Silence of the Lambs, yes. There has to be that psychological part of it there too. I don't like just slasher films.
I think thriller is the is like a crime drama or a thriller, like a suspense, suspense movie.
Yes.
Where it's plausible that what is going on has happened. Then I can handle a little
bit. Grant was just in one. I forget the name of it, but I watched that and it was really good.
Oh, so people were raving about that with the two young girls. Yes. They come to his house or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hugh Grant is really having a really nice back half of his career, is he not?
He is. He's having a little renaissance.
That HBO show he was in about the affair or whatever it was. Do you remember that?
Yeah, no. It was the one with Nicole Kidman.
It was really good. Mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of Nicole Kidman.
Yeah, the divorce.
The divorce heard around the world.
Really?
Nicole and Keith are no longer. They're in the middle of a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And he claims it's because of the rigors of the road, that it's just is too much to... The rigors of the road, and then she's also out filming all the time.
Well, and
that
they never see each other. She's in like everything.
Everything.
So I kind of wondered, like, how do they fit that in with everything? And then he's on the road too, so... I can see how things kind of break down, and then there's been some, you know, talk about his guitarist,
but I don't think that's been confirmed yet. But there are certainly some signs that point that way, but no one has confirmed it. She ended up making it a big publicity stunt, the guitarist did, to sell her new book and her new album, but she didn't confirm anything, and he hasn't confirmed anything either. He mentioned that the rigors of the road and the fact that they didn't see a lot of each other. And you'll hear this interview in a couple of weeks of this guy named Nacho, who's on Escuela de Nada. I had a chance to interview while Chrissy was out. His wife is a very famous Mexican actress.
Oh, okay.
Very famous. Like, all the time, a bunch of stuff. Yes. And I had a chance to meet her at the end of the interview, which is very nice. You won't hear that on the interview, but I had a chance to meet her. But I say that to say that he's on one of the most popular podcasts in the world. Oh, and he does stand-up comedy. He's always touring. And then she is an actress. And he flat out told me, and you'll hear this, you know, at one point, I thought it was done. Mm-hmm. I thought we were getting a divorce because we were just never seeing each other. And he's like, we had to be purposeful about making sure that we spend time together. You do. And so, but when you're the biggest movie star in the world, one of the biggest movie stars in the world, and then you're a middle-aged country Australian legend.
He was really big for a while.
He really was. And now, is he on American Idol? Is it American Idol?
I think he is on one of those shows.
Is it American Idol or is it the other one? The spin around competition. Yeah, but when you're in that situation and of the pressures to always be everywhere doing the next thing, and you know that you only have so much time on the clock as far as fame is concerned, making that money, I can see how it would become really difficult to navigate the calendar and get all of those things done
too,
and still have a meaningful, intimate relationship with somebody. I mean, it's hard.
Be tough.
It's hard enough when you're just like two working adults, right? And you live in the same house and you come home at night, you're not doing any traveling. So, well, you know, it's sad, but it's a tale old as time. You know, it's hard for people in Hollywood to... One person needs to be the unemployed cape rider, and the other person needs to be the famous moneymaker. That's how it all, that's the only way that it works.
Yeah.
And so I'm volunteering to be Nicole Kidman's cape rider.
Yeah, she's got a big cape.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a big cape. I don't know how many kids, they have kids? They have like two
they
kids,
do.
I think?
They have two kids together.
Yeah. They have two kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's already got a couple on the back of the cape, but I think that cape is big enough to handle a couple more. Yeah, Nicole Kidman has got to be fabulously wealthy.
Oh, yeah.
She really does work all the time.
Mm-hmm. And she's great.
Yeah. Oh, I love her. Mm-hmm. I love her work. I think that she looks a little disturbing sometimes because of all the plastic surgery, but her acting is so good that I get over it real quick.
It is. Yeah. She's great.
Who's she in? What was that show? All the women?
Everything.
Yeah, but it was a couple years ago.
Little Women?
You remember the one with...
The Pretty Little Liars?
Pretty Little Liars.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
I loved that show.
That was a great
show. It was great.
I know.
All right, 212-433-3TCB, 212-433-3822. We'll take questions, comments, concerns, or content ideas right there. Text us, get in the game. We'd love to hear from you, all that good jazz. If you want your free TCB sticker, we have a new one, and we've got, I don't know, like 70 of them. So first come, first serve. Go to tcbpodcast.com. The drop-down menu under the Contact Us button says, I want my free sticker. Go there, give us your address, and we'll send you one. No muss, no fuss. Also, if you'd like to watch any of the video or any of the audio, the entire library is right there at tcbpodcast.com. So if you're a URL kind of person, go URL it up. God bless you. Have fun. You're old and, you know.
You're old
and you should check out ChatGPT, but, you know. I had a text message not long ago, like three weeks ago, we did, that someone liked to go to the website and listen. Okay, cool.
If however you like consume it, we're good.
Yeah, any way you do it, just do it. At the commercial break on Instagram, TCB Podcast on TikTok, and YouTube.com/TheCommercialBreak for all the episodes, including this one, the same day they air here on audio. Okay, Chrissy, good to have you back. I love you.
I'm glad to be back, and I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, we will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.